Good morning, everybody. Good to see you today. Welcome to Stony Creek Church. Oh boy, this has been a week of celebration, and we're keeping the party going here with baptisms, and we've got communion coming up later. It's important to celebrate and remember the freedom we have in our country. Of course, it was bought at a high price. It's maintained at a high price. And we need to remember to live gratefully and to guard it, to keep guarding the freedom that we enjoy. But if you follow Jesus, then I know you know that we have a greater freedom in Jesus than anything else that the world or even this country can offer. In fact, if you belong to Jesus, it doesn't matter if you live here in the United States or under the most oppressive regime in the world. You've got a freedom nobody can touch. We know that. And it was bought at an even higher price. The price of our Savior Jesus on the cross. Scott and Katie were proclaiming their freedom in Jesus as they trusted in Him as Lord and Savior. And we got to celebrate with them. And I'm so glad we've got the technology to be able to re-show it, you know, at multiple, so the whole body here at Stony can celebrate together. Even if it's just watching the recap or the previously at Stony Creek Church, you know, kind of thing. No, it's good for all of us to go in there. And then that high price is remembered with communion, Jesus' broken body. That's what that bread represents when we do communion at the end of our service today. And the juice represents Jesus poured out blood as He suffered the separation from God the Father in our place to set us free, to make the way back to a relationship with God and everything that comes with Him possible for us again. But when you consider that high cost, it's crazy. It's crazy that there are many people set free by Jesus who don't live like it. They're walking around in life like they haven't been freed by Jesus. If I'm honest with you, and I ought to be if I'm going to stand up here, I've seen that in my life. Sometimes I'm walking around not like a freed person. You've probably seen that in your life. And so today's message in between baptism and communion is this: you're free. Act like it. All right? We talked about putting on the uniform. Now you don't go out, if you put on a police uniform, don't go out and start acting like a criminal. That'd be real bad, you know? You're wearing the uniform. Now you need to go out and live it. Act like it. And this problem of not living like you've been freed by Jesus, it's not a brand new one. It's not exclusive to America. No, it goes all the way back to the early church, right back into the New Testament. We see in Galatians, that's where we're finding ourselves this morning. If you want to open your Bibles to chapter 5 of Galatians, we see back there in this letter from the Apostle Paul to this church that there were some bad influencers that crept in among them in first century Galatia, and they were causing these Christians to exchange their freedom in Christ for chains of religious ritual and chains of sinful behavior. And what this did, it led to infighting in the church and isolation from other churches. It was causing all kinds of problems. They were picking each other apart and cutting each other down. And the good work that God had begun there when the Apostle Paul planted that church just about a year or so earlier, that all that good work was grinding to a halt because of this. And so Paul writes them this letter, Galatians, and in 5:1 it reads, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." Throughout this letter and right here, Paul is teaching an important truth that Jesus sets us free, not just from something, but for something. He didn't just set us free from something, but for something. When a person trusts in Jesus as Lord and Savior, he or she is set free from sin's eternal consequence. That's the biggie that we talk about a lot. But we've also been set free for something, to live for Jesus. Set free to live for Him. Paul says, don't waste your freedom by locking yourself back up into the things that Jesus has already rescued you from. Instead, use your freedom to do the things your Lord calls you to do. And we're going to look at that here today. We're going to talk about four ways Jesus sets us free. All right, four ways Jesus sets us free. And notice it's going to go back and forth. He sets me free from this, and he sets me free to do this. All right, and it's going to go back and forth. So the first one that you want to write down on your outline, you can take that out of your program, is this. Jesus sets me free from meaningless ritual. From meaningless ritual. Paul writes this. I'm going to read it, and you know the drill. At the yellow print, you can help me out. All right, we'll read those parts together. So Paul writes, "Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." So the issue here in the beginning of the chapter especially is the issue of circumcision. Circumcision was a ritual given by God to Israel. All right, this was commanded, given to them by God. It was the most intimate sign of the covenant between God and Abraham's family and descendants. It was anything but empty. It was very important, very meaningful. But Jesus came, and he fulfilled that covenant. He's the fulfillment of the entire Old Testament. And so in the New Testament, what we learn is that people enter into a circumcision of the heart. When we come to Jesus, it's not a matter of the body anymore. It's a matter of the heart between us and God. But these folks were coming in and convincing the Galatian Christians that, well, all right, you're going to follow Jesus. You also need to start putting yourself under the law of the Old Testament and doing what it says. But Paul writes, no, 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 no. We've been freed from that in Christ. You know, to this day, some Christians are still confused and think we need to follow, you know, this law or that law or this ritual in the Old Testament. There's still a lot of confusion in that, but it's been fulfilled in Jesus. We surrender to him. This is what we're called to do. Surrender to Jesus and follow what he taught us in the New Testament. And we're free from those rituals. But unfortunately, Jesus followers, the church, we've regularly stumbled into empty ritual throughout our history. Not just Old Testament stuff, we make up new stuff to fall into. You know, and we correct ourselves occasionally. I'm sure you're all thinking of something. I'm not going to list a bunch of examples. Be like, them guys over there at that denomination. No, I'm just, you can fill in the blank. But we do correct ourselves occasionally, but then some other practice comes along and becomes our new empty ritual. Maybe it was something that was practical for a time, but it's outdated now. But it has nothing to do anymore with a relationship with Jesus, if it ever did. Some things never did. There's people that used to hurt themselves, to like self-flagellation. Then God never said that was all right. You know, we do some weird stuff that has nothing to do, no value at all. If anything, it can be very hurtful. And so what we can't do is let things go beyond what Jesus requires. Even long-held traditions, we can't let them become empty rituals that we start demanding and imposing on other people. If you want to follow Jesus and be a Christian like me, you also need to. No, Jesus frees us from that. Now, on the other hand, it's good to point out, especially since we had baptisms and communion today, that there are practices Jesus has given us called ordinances that are anything but empty. All right? Communion and baptism, they're not empty rituals. They're commands from Jesus himself in the New Testament under the New Covenant. Baptism is, like we just learned, it's one of the first steps we take in following Christ as our Lord. That's anything but empty. We're following our Lord. Communion keeps the gospel message at the heart of our life together as Jesus followers. It makes sure we're remembering regularly this greatest sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Jesus said to do this in remembrance of him. And so we follow Jesus in these things. You need to be careful. I need to be careful to spot the difference There's some who claim to be Jesus followers that are just locked into some empty tradition, but then they blow off what Jesus actually tells them to do. And they're like, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. Be careful to spot the difference. Empty rituals, religious add-ons, they just lead to infighting. That's what was going on there. There was infighting. We've been freed from that. What do we do instead? Well, here's the next thing on our outline. Jesus sets us free, sets me free to love. He sets us free to really love. The scripture continues this morning. We'll pick it up here in verse 13. Paul writes, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." That is a command that Jesus repeated and we submit to. Submit to your, or love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. You could circle those two each other words. I'll get to that in a moment here. But, you know, of course, every person has the capacity to love, has a capacity to do that. We've been created by God, who is love, to be loving. We see parents, you know, even non-Christian parents, of course, love their kids, and husbands and wives love each other, and friends and neighbors love one another. Yeah, we were built by God, but the Bible to do that. But the Bible teaches that when humanity sinned against God, we fell. All creation broke down. Our love relationship with God was broken entirely. Our love relationship with one another was broken. And so, yeah, we still have some good qualities like love within us, but they've become twisted and often self-seeking. That's why even with love all around us, we sing about love being all around us, we still can't achieve world peace. Couples get divorced. Parents and kids become estranged from one another. Friends, neighbors have fallings out. We can love, but we don't love the way God originally built us to do it. But in Christ, that's all changed. It's all brand new. When a person places his trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, he's forgiven of his sin and he's given a new life in Christ. One empowered by the Holy Spirit. That new life is capable of the kind of love that Paul says fulfills all the commands. We're capable of that love now. Christians, yeah, we can be unloving. That's true. I know if somebody was hearing that, they might think, yeah, well, what about unloving Christians? Well, yes. Christians still get divorced. It's so heartbreaking. Christians behave selfishly. That's what happens when us freed Christians go back to living like we haven't been freed by Jesus. We tear ourselves and each other apart. Paul says you're free. Don't use that freedom to be selfish. Use it to love others because you truly can. You're in a position to be loving like that. Paul's applying this. He's just been talking about circumcision. That's really the application. He's applying this to their infighting over these religious rituals and their observance to the Old Testament, even though that's been fulfilled. And he writes, if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. Paul is saying you're free from all that. So be humble. Be a servant to one another. Be loving. Today, we still fight in the church about, it's sad, it's about everything. All the way back to how old the earth is and all the way forward to when the rapture is going to happen and just about everything you can think of in between. We'll fight about it. We'll fight about names of Joe Biden and Donald Trump and all the good, bad, and ugly feelings that they give us, you know? And we'll bicker and we'll fight about these things. Now, of course, we should talk. We should debate. We should stand for our convictions. Paul says stand firm when he's talking about circumcision. He said don't let yourself fall back into this. Don't be a pushover. Stand firm in what's true. So I'm not saying for a second not to do that, but we can't cross the line into biting and devouring our brother and sister in Christ, or anyone for that matter. It says they were biting and devouring each other. That's the danger they were in. So some of those people were right about circumcision. That was the issue they're fighting about. Some of them were right. They don't have to be circumcised. They ought not to be circumcised as a ritual anyway, medical reasons or whatever. He's not talking about that. But even if they're right about the issue, they're fighting and biting and devouring each other. And so we need to be careful. Stand for what we believe, but be humble. Be a servant to all people. Be loving. Care about the person that you're debating with, if you're debating. That's something to remember this season. We know it's going to be hot for the next few months. We know it. So let's adhere to the Word of God on all this. That's what living as a free person looks like. Rather than tearing each other down, we're building each other up in love. Number three here on our outline, as Paul's moving along in his letter, what does Jesus set us free from? He sets us free from sin. And I don't just mean the consequence of sin. We talk about being set free from the punishment. I mean, he sets us free from sinning. We don't have to sin anymore, guys. That's good news. I remember being told as a kid, well, you sin every day. And that's probably true. In fact, I'm pretty sure that is true. I haven't kept a record closely, but I'm pretty sure that's probably true. But the person was saying it to me as though, like, you've got no choice. You're going to sin every day. But that's actually not what Scripture teaches. I'm no longer a slave to sin. We sing no longer a slave to fear. That's true. Also no longer a slave to sin. Look at how Paul continues. He says it this way. He writes, and this is Scripture. He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you're not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. And then he goes on to list it. This was not supposed to be in here. That's my words. That's not Scripture. And he lists a whole bunch. That was supposed to just be on my manuscript. My bad. It's trying to save time. I added time by having to explain that. But there's a long list of bad stuff we're not to do. And he says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this, this list of just terrible things that we do that hurt ourselves, we hurt each other, and we offend God by those things, he says, if you live like that, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. That's ominous. Paul's describing this life in the Spirit and this life in the flesh. The life in the Spirit is when the Holy Spirit has taken up special residence in our life. He indwells us, every believer of the Lord Jesus, and he empowers us to live for God. Life in the flesh is the opposite. We don't have the Holy Spirit or power for living, his power for living, and so we follow our own desires. We do what we want, and what we want is just destroys ourselves and each other and continues to shake a fist up at the God who gave us life. That's everyone without a relationship with Christ. But sadly, Paul's saying, be careful because it's the way a Christian might live. Now, everyone understands that struggle of good and evil. We've seen it in like cartoons and movies where there's like an angel and a devil like on the shoulder, you know? And it's supposed to be like they're arguing with each other like it's a 50-50. Which way am I going to go on this decision, right? But the difference with a believer is that the Holy Spirit clobbers the flesh. It's actually not a fair fight at all between good and evil, all right? God wins, all right? And if you have the Holy Spirit, it is not an equal fight in your life. Jesus already won it for us. And so the person with the Holy Spirit has real free choice to walk away from sin. That's what we have in Christ. Paul writes, walk by the Spirit and you won't gratify the flesh. If you just live by the Spirit, so the question is, well, how do I live by the Spirit? Well, yeah, we're getting there. But I want to get to that stark warning first. He gives a real scary warning here. He says, if you chain yourself back to sin after saying you're going to follow Jesus, you might not belong to him at all. Of course, we stumble. I stumble. I need to repent. I repent every morning. I've got that alarm. We talk about it a lot at 9/11, a reminder to repent and to ask that the Holy Spirit would revive us that day. We need to keep short accounts with God and be careful to stay on that so that our relationship just keeps growing with him. But the person who's mouthed a prayer about trusting in Jesus but just outright chooses not to live for him, Paul says that person's not going to inherit the kingdom of God. If you belong to Jesus, you are free to walk away from sin. The question is, do you want to? I know sin's tempting, of course. But ultimately, do you want to walk away from sin and toward Jesus in your life? Pray to God. Ask him to give you that desire. Pray to want to. To want to walk away from sin, to quit chaining yourself in filth and stuff that Jesus has already, from which he's already set you free. You can do it. You can do it because of the final thing on our outline here. You want to write this down. Jesus sets me free to experience life in the Spirit. He frees us from sin and having to live that way to live and experience life in the Spirit. Look at this final section. Paul writes, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." I wanted to read that list. I didn't care about the other list as much. "Against those things, against such things, there's no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." That previous list, if you're in your own Bible, you probably looked at it a little bit. It's a list of acts, of things you do, behaviors. But this list here, this fruit of the Spirit, it's called fruit. It's a list of things that are produced, that the Holy Spirit produces in our life as we keep in step with the Holy Spirit. He's the one that brings these things about, but we need to participate with him, keep in step, surrender to him. Surrender to doing it his way. We need to say things like, "God, you want me to let go of this tradition and not force it on other people? Okay, I'll do it your way." We need to say to God, "God, you want me to love and serve this person? Even though we sharply disagree, even though this person, I think, hates me, I still need to be humble. I still need to care and love this person. Okay, God, I'll do it your way. I don't want to. I want to clobber them. I'm going to do it your way." We need to say to God every day, "God, you want me to walk away from this sin, even though I want to give into this temptation so badly. Okay, God, I'm not going to surrender to that. I'm going to surrender to you. Even though you know what my flesh wants, I'm going on my knees to you, God. I'm surrendering to you in this moment." When we do this, church, when we do this, the Spirit will produce in our lives, in us, the joy of the Lord, the peace of the Lord. All these wonderful fruits in our lives will be produced as we continue to surrender. Every Christian is free to live a life of love, to walk away from sin, and the way we do it is by daily surrender. That's the secret. It's not that big of a secret because it's been in the New Testament for 2,000 years telling us this, but the secret is that when we surrender, we experience freedom. I know you're thinking, you're sounding like a real Canadian right now, Chris, talking about surrender. Come on, we're Americans. We fight and take our freedom. Well, I'm not talking about some government authority or regime. I'm talking about our God who made us and loves us. And if we surrender to him, that's where we experience his freedom. But here's the thing. It is a daily thing. You don't just surrender to Jesus once and then let off the gas, throw it in neutral. If you throw it in neutral, consider your life an uphill journey. Some of you are like, "Yeah, no, that makes sense." Consider your life an uphill journey. If you throw your faith in neutral, you're sliding back downhill. All right? Paul uses words like, "Don't let yourself go back into this." He says, "Stand firm." He says, "Walk in step with the Spirit." See, the sins that he listed were actions, but it's so easy to just go back into that. Just let off the gas in your faith and you'll go back into living like a person in chains again to sin or religious ritual or whatever's got you. all right? You need to actively move forward with the Spirit. Now, He's empowering you. He's giving you everything you need to do that, but we need to participate and surrender. It's a daily thing. Now, the main idea is this: surrender daily to the Spirit to live in freedom. It was for freedom that Jesus set us free. Let's not bind ourselves all over again to things outside God's will. No. The Bible's clear. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence in our life. And if we've trusted in Jesus to save us, we need to just depend on Him, participate with Him, and we will live truly free.